Chariot Solutions TechCast for Tuesday, April 15th, 2008. On the show today, Dimitri Skloot and I discuss the OSGI Component Development Initiative. We discuss the current state of OSGI as a platform, competing standards from Sun, containers, tooling support, and integration with the Spring Inversion of Control framework. This week, we also launched the show notes pages on our website. To view show notes for all Chariot TechCasts, browse to www.chariotsolutions.com/podcasts/techcast/show notes. For listener feedback, email me at krimple@chariotsolutions.com.
Why don't you give us just a little overview of what OSGI is?
Well, OSGI started out around 99, if I'm not mistaken, and it started out as a modularization platform for, embedded devices or edge of network type of devices. So if you want to have a smart home or a smart fridge that would reorder your milk, that's what they were targeting initially. But around 2003, Eclipse picked it up and IBM jumped on the bandwagon. So it's kind of making its way into the enterprise space now. Where people realize that being a module system for Java, it kind of helps in developing software. Java having a hierarchical class order, we're all kind of familiar with all the issues or versionitis or jar hell versus DLL hell that
right.
we have in Java. So OSGI kind of simplifies this and provides a peer-based class loading schemes where each bundle says, I require X, and I give other components Y. And based on those exports and imports, platform is able to wire up components together and kind of provide services and packages that you need.
And the ability to unload and reload things on the fly.
And that's the dynamic part of the platform where you basically have 99% uptime for the platform itself.
Mm-hmm.
But applications deployed in the platform could come and go as needed. So basically, you can call OSGI SOA in the box or SOA in the JVM.
So there are different runtimes for OSGI, right? Three of them that I've heard about, Equinox, Felix, and Knopflerfish. So why are there multiple runtimes and what would they give you?
Well, the three runtimes that you mentioned are open source.
Mm-hmm.
So Equinox is, underlying platform under Eclipse.
Mm-hmm.
Felix is the Apache effort. And Knopflerfish is from a company called Process, if I'm not mistaken, mm-hmm. in the name. They all have different implementation, like Equinox is geared towards developing with the Eclipse plugins. Felix is a clean room implementation. Knopflerfish, it's another implementation.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And you can basically reuse different service implementation from a different platform. You can run on Equinox but use Felix components, or run Knopflerfish and use Equinox components. So,
but the API itself is going to be a standard API to like spin up a component or bring down a component or package.
It's all spec'd out.
Mm-hmm.
So to be certified as being compliant to the spec, it has to have a particular set of and pass the CTK.
OSGI is not the only component platform out there today, right? Or at least it's not the only one that's being proposed. There are a couple different JSRs, one which is OSGI, and two from Sun. Can you give me a little bit of an overview for people who don't know much about this, of what the other competing platforms are?
So let's get the OSGI-specific JSR out of the way. So it's a JSR 291. It's basically a rubber stamp on the OSGI version 4.
Mm-hmm.
But because of the JSR, it became version 4.1. So there was a minor change. Now, JSR has it has its own module system on work schedule for Java 7, which is JSR 277. A sister is a JSR 294, which provides support at the VM level for modularization. OSGI can be used right now, going back to maybe Java 1.2 or to the very restrictive mobile profile of Java.
Mm-hmm.
Can be used in that environment. So if you want to use something now, if you need a module system right now, you got to go with OSGI. If you can wait until Java 7 and see how the OSGI versus Java module system plays out,
mm-hmm.
You'll be able to compare the implementations from one to another. And I'm sure there will be some kind of an interwelp between them.
What kind of application architectures would you see being useful to deploy OSGI as a base for?
Well, obviously containers.
Mm-hmm.
So BA, Oracle, Oh, I said Oracle already.
Yeah.
IBM, Service Mesh, JBoss, a lot of those providers are rebuilding the internal kernels to be OSGI, so you can kind of take pieces out, put the pieces back in, and have the necessary uptime that users require during upgrades. If you're building an application yourself, that you need modularization, you obviously have to think about it in different terms. You don't think about, you know, application A talk to application B. You think about in modules, you know.
Pluggable components,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, think about Legos. So I have a red block and I have a yellow block, and I can put them together and I have red-yellow block. and each block of that is a piece of the application, like transaction service or security.
Logging system or what have you. Right, okay.
So you assemble it and you get a castle.
Okay, so let's talk a little bit about tooling then. You know, it's early days for the full OSGI platform, but there's this OPS4J effort with PAX. Can you talk a little bit about that?
OPS4J is like an umbrella project. So think about Apache. OPS4J, Open Participation for Java. And one of the efforts they have is called PAX, and it's an umbrella project for all the OSGI tooling supports.
That's PAX, right? Yep, yeah,
that's correct. So they have like a Maven plugin. So if you have an existing jar, you want to wrap it as a bundle, as an OSGI component, you can run it through the Maven plugin and kind of generates all the metadata that you need for it. It has an Eclipse plugin, so instead of being limited to like an Eclipse running against Equinox runtime, you can run against Felix and Knopperfish and maybe Concierge. That's another implementation open source. OSGI provides some compendium services, for example, HTTP and some other services, but they kind of, you know, dated. So HTTP services based on the spec 2.0, servlet spec 2.1 or 2.2.
Okay, pretty old. Yeah,
pretty old. And so given that API, PAX, for example, provides their own implementation, which is based on JS6. So you can kind of have support for filters, JSPs, tag libraries.
Modern web apps.
Yeah, modern web apps. So you can have web apps deployed in an OSGI environment. You can also take an existing web app, and using a PAX web extender component, you can deploy that OSGI, that web app, without any modifications into the OSGI runtime.
Spring has an OSGI integration layer. Why don't you talk a little bit about that?
So Spring came out with the Spring DM project, which is Dynamic Module Project. And in version 1, which was released earlier this year, they provided support for dependency injection within an OSGI container, and provided modularization support for Spring application. So in Spring application, a unit of modularization is application context. So in the OSGI transition, each bundle, each component deployed in a system as an OSGI, as a Spring-powered component, is going to get its own application context. It can export services into OSGI registry. It could import services and use them as is. And another thing that Spring DM provides is a consistent proxy to underlying service. And gets all the dynamics of the OSGI kind of under control, so you don't have to think about multi-threading, notifications on multiple threads, all of that, you know, hard stuff to do.
Right.
So that's the version one. And so it's good if you're a Spring developer, if you're comfortable with that, it's easy transition to Spring DM. All you have to basically learn is where to put the files and a custom namespace.
So where do you think we are in terms of adoption?
Well, it's been called the most important technology of the decade. So it's, you know, there's a lot of points of view on it. If you don't need it, you don't use it, but it's really nice to be able to think about your application as a set of actual reusable components that you can, you know, pull off the shelf. And premise of EGB when it started, you know, reusable components.
Yeah.
But it never materialized. With OSGI, you kind of have a feeling that it will materialize.
Just because the concept of bringing things off and online is baked into it.
Yes, absolutely, because it has a spec'd out lifecycle API. And previously, you don't really have this. And it has multi-version support, so you can deploy multiple versions of the same component and run it side by side in the same container without collision.
So about resources, you know, if you want to learn something about OSGI right now, what are some places you could go or things you could look at?
Well, obviously the spec, OSGI.org. it's a real good resource. You gotta, you know, sign your name and the blood of your firstborn to get. But it's
and yet you stay with it.
Yeah. Second resource is probably the Eclipse Equinox related site. Apache Felix website has a good resource. There's a considerable amount of information on the Eclipse Zone about it. So, but unless somebody comes out with a good book, which hopefully is going to happen pretty soon, there isn't really up-to-date information. How do you use it in enterprise environment?
Mm-hmm. There's no cookbook for it yet.
Absolutely not.
Okay. Sounds like an opportunity to write a book.
Good luck.
Yeah. Anyone who's done that knows how painful that can be.
Special thanks today to Dimitri Skloot for his interview. You can find his Emerging Technologies for the Enterprise presentation, entitled OSGI with Spring DM, in the download section of our website, www.chariotsolutions.com. In the next episode, we will feature a recorded presentation from last month's ETE conference.